of characteristics, of skills, of abilities, that kind of thing. God has gifted each and every one of us with those special abilities. Now, what we're doing is we're going through our mission statement and our vision statement at the beginning of the year, kind of redoing them again. We say in our vision statement, North Point Assembly of God is a group of spiritually strong believers learning God's Word, meeting needs in our community, and loving unconditionally. And then our mission statement is North Point exists to grow spiritually strong people who share God's love by building relationships and living a life that pleases God. You're never going to be spiritually strong until you discover the gifts that God has given you and the abilities that He's put inside of each one of us to build the kingdom of God. And I want you to understand right from the start, from the very beginning, that everybody has a special ability in the kingdom of God. God has given you gifts and talents and abilities that are there for the building of the kingdom of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, we're going to be kind of hanging around 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So if you want to put a finger in that portion of your Bible this morning, that would be great. But it says in 1 Corinthians 12, 7, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Now, one of the things that we have to get past right away is the reason for those spiritual gifts. They are not to benefit you. Those spiritual gifts are for the benefit of others. It is to benefit the body of Christ together, those that are around us. We're not in it to be stars in ourselves. Now, there are gifts that are a little more prominent than that. I get to stand up here every Sunday and preach and teach because that is one of the gifts that God has given me, is the ability to preach and teach the gospel and the Word of God. So I have to exercise that, and it seems like my gift might be more important than maybe some other gifts. But there are other gifts. Our nursery workers, if you're working in the nursery here at the church, you are exercising a spiritual gift for the good of the body. If you help clean the church, we got a great custodian, but if you help clean the church, if you come in and set up chairs and dump the trash or whatever it is for special events and stuff like that, you are exercising a spiritual gift for the kingdom of God. One of the things that I want to accomplish here this morning is to kind of normalize spiritual giftings. If you grew up in Pentecost, if you grew up in a Pentecostal church, whenever I say spiritual gifts, kind of a certain thing comes to mind. Usually it's something miraculous, something like speaking in tongues or the gift of interpretation or something like that. And those are all gifts of the Spirit, but not everybody has that gift and everybody has that ability to do those things. And so what I want to do is kind of normalize spiritual gifts to the point that it is a natural outgrowth of who you are and what you are. Your spiritual gift is just who you are in Christ Jesus. It's just your abilities that you have. It says in 1 Peter 4:10, God has given each of you a gift from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. So your spiritual gift is a gift from God. It's given to you, but it's given so that you can bless others. And that's the purpose of it, so that we can help others. And we want to make sure that it is an outgrowth of our lives, of what we're doing and what we're saying to Him each and every day. We're gonna read a listing each, but each gift is necessary. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:12-13, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. I love this metaphor that Paul is using in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He's using the human body as that metaphor for the gifts of the Spirit and how we all fit into it. It says, some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, some of us are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are meant to bind us together as one. They're meant to grow us as one body together in Jesus Christ. That's why it's so important that you understand where you are in the body of Christ, what your giftings are, what your abilities are, because then you know how you fit in the entire body of Christ. There are a lot of Christians today that are wondering where they fit in. They go from church to church. They go from gathering to gathering, trying to find a place that will cater to their needs. Now, we live in a very consumer-oriented culture, and that has bled over into our spiritual lives. We go to churches trying to see what they offer us. But in the body of Christ, if you're already a follower of Jesus Christ, you should be going from church to church trying to see where you are needed and where you're fitting into their vision and to their abilities and to their desires to see what's going on in the body of Christ. It is for others that we are created, not for ourselves. And that is the binding factor of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It is knowing where you fit in and where you are part of the body of Christ. Now, I want to talk for a few minutes about how to discover your spiritual gifts. Now, this is going to be very, very surfacey, okay? I can't get deep into it in one service. But there are online resources discovering your spiritual gifts. I wish now I had put them up here for you, but discovering your spiritual gifts, where you can take online tests and find out where your spiritual giftings might lie. And I say might lie because it gives an overview of that. But if you're wondering how your spiritual gifts fit into the body of Christ, that might be a good place to start, is online, trying to discover what your spiritual giftings are. Some of them are quite lengthy because they want to kind of get down to the narrowness of where your gifts lie. But the first thing that you need to know is you need to know the spiritual gifts. You need to know the spiritual gifts that God gives you. And it lists them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. And Paul, in 1 Timothy, he encourages this young man to discover and stir up his spiritual giftings. He says, do not neglect the spiritual gift you received through the prophecy spoken over you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. That tells us a very important key of discovering your spiritual gift. It's not just what you think, but it's what the church thinks, what the body of Christ believes God has given you too. When we talk in a few minutes about how to discover your spiritual gifts in a little more detail, one of the things that we're going to say is ask other people. Ask spiritual people what they think your gifts are. Take input from others. We don't always see our own gifts and our own abilities, but the leadership of the church has that ability to pray and ask God and to see into your life and to kind of help you discover what those gifts are. And if you need that help, ask for that help. But first of all, you've got to know what your spiritual gifts are. And in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, it gives a partial list. A partial list of the spiritual gifts that God has given to us. And I say partial list because I believe that every spiritual gift is tailored to the person that it's given to. It's kind of, we'll talk about that in just a moment. But it says in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10, to one person the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another, and to someone else the Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles, and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is said. Paul is giving us an idea here about the supernatural giftings of the Holy Spirit that he gives to us. And I want you to note something about these. These are not just your personalities. This is not just the abilities that you have, but it is your personality and your abilities that are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And that's the important distinction that we need to remember in this, is that these gifts are empowered by the Holy Spirit. They're not something that we just kind of conjure up in ourselves, but they're empowered by the Holy Spirit, and they give us the ability to accomplish things for the body of Christ. Now, finding your special ability is knowing where your spiritual gifts are. So ask yourself this question. What do you think your spiritual gifts are? Now, many of us never really consider that question, kind of deeply. But a spiritual gift, it says in 1 Corinthians 12:7, you're going to have this memorized by the time we're done, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. You have a spiritual gift. Let's just get that right out on the table right out now. You have, every person here, if you belong to Jesus Christ, you have a spiritual gift that God has given you to help others. It says in 1 Peter 4:10, again, it says, so that you can help others, so that you can serve each other. A spiritual gift is a serving gift. It's a gift that you're given to serve others. And so we need to remember that. Know your heart. First of all, ask yourself, what spiritual gift do you think you have? Now, in your bulletin, there's a little worksheet that I had put in there. If you want to haul that out now, we're going to kind of go through these things together. But I just want you to take a minute and just write out what you might think your spiritual gift might be. I'm not going to collect these. You don't have to show them to your neighbor or anything like that. I want you to kind of write this out for your benefit, what you think your spiritual gift is. So let's just take a minute and do that. Think about what we talked about. Maybe it's something teaching, or maybe it's something taking meals to people. Be specific about it if you have to be, about what God is doing in your life. And the way that you discover them is to know your heart, to ask yourself this question, what would I love to do with no restraints? Let's just say you didn't really need to work for a living anymore. You didn't need to support your family, and that didn't take up a lot of your time. But you just had no restraints. You could pick anything in the world that you were able to do. What would you like to do? Now, let me just tell you, you know, stuff like, I wish I could know the future so I could pick out lottery numbers doesn't count. Okay, that's not one of the gifts of the Spirit. But if you could just do whatever you wanted to do to help serve others, what would it be? You know, some of you have gifts of accounting. You would love to be able to go into some of these small businesses or ministries that need help with their accounting, keeping their books straight. Let me tell you, that's important stuff. That's important stuff, keeping your books straight. Before I let you in on a little church secret, this was years ago, but I kept the books with Quicken very, very poorly, kept the books until we got somebody else to do that. But at one time, on paper, this church was worth over $1 million by my reckoning. I don't know how I came up with that number. I just hit a button, looked at the bottom, it said $1,376,233. And I said, praise God. Now, if I could just find that money, we'd be doing a lot better. I had to find somebody with the gift of accounting that was able to accurately keep the books and do that kind of stuff. Now we got Nancy that keeps us straight on all that. Are we worth $1 million yet, Nancy? Not yet? Okay. Be sure and let me know when that happens. Okay. But ask yourself, what would I do if I could do anything at all? What's my heart's passion? Know your heart. What would you love to do? And just kind of let that be your guide. Secondly, know your abilities. What are you good at? Now, every one of you are good at something. Every single one of you are good at something. I was talking to my dad last night on the phone, and many of you know I've got 6 brothers, And we're all different. We're all, you know, we all have our own character, our own personalities. But my dad had said, well, your brother brought his dog over today. And, you know, normally if somebody brought their dog to somebody's house, I would be a little bit concerned because not everybody is a dog trainer. How many of you know that? Not everybody's a dog trainer. But this brother of mine, he has, honestly, he has the ability to make dogs do what he wants them to do. He just spends a little time with them, and they are just, he has the best behaved dog that I've ever seen. He said several of them like that. He just has the ability, he has the skill of training dogs. Now, I don't know how it fit into the kingdom of God. It's just an illustration of those things that we all have that we're good at. Some of you are great at cleaning. You can clean a house like nobody's business. Please don't apply that gift to me. Okay, I'm not a good cleaner. I go to the school of close enough is good enough, and you know that doesn't always work out real well. Some of you have ability to work with children. Some of you can't work with children worth a lick. You're stressed, they're stressed, everybody's stressed when you're working with them. But you can work with adults well. You know, it's just, what is your abilities? What is your vocation? Do you enjoy what you do? Are you doing what God has called you to do? Ask yourself, what experiences have shaped my life? What skills do I have? I am very envious of people who can work with their hands. I cannot do that. I do not have, first of all, I don't have the patience for it. If the bolt doesn't go on the screw. Okay, see? There you go, right there. But if the bolt doesn't go on the screw right away, I get impatient and I get stressed out. Why isn't this stupid thing working? It couldn't be my fault, of course. It's got to be the machine's fault. I just don't have that ability. About the best I can do is change the oil with a little help in my car. You know, that's about the best that I can do. So that's not my ability. But I can get up, I have the ability to get up in front of people and speak and put lessons together and put teachings together. And one of the things I have to remember is that is tremendously frightening to most people. How many of you have a fear of being in front of a crowd speaking? I mean, you know, you don't feel comfortable with that. Probably about 90% of you here have that fear. And I don't get that. You just get up there and do it. But that's a gift that I have. That's what I like to do. That's what I enjoy doing. And so it's part of who I am and what God has done that. And then thirdly, know your personality. Are you an introvert or an extrovert? Do you like being around people, or would you rather be off by yourself or just face-to-face with one or two people? Are you a thinker or a feeler? Do you depend upon your feelings more than you depend upon logic and thought and, you know, that kind of thing? Are you driven by those kinds of things? Do you need a variety of things? Are you a multitasker, or do you need single focus? Do you need to focus on something? I need my focus on one project at a time. If I have two or three things going, I can do it, but I don't feel as competent doing it, and it leads to stress and feelings of, you know, inadequacy in my life. I need that single focus kind of thing. How did you come to the Lord? That's a very important factor in discovering your spiritual gift. Maybe you came in a crisis situation where something terrible happened in your life, and as a result, you turned to the Lord. Maybe you're like me. You came to the Lord as a small child. I can still remember the day that my mother prayed with me on the top bunk. I was on the top bunk. My mom was standing there. She was putting us to bed, and I just told her that I wanted to give my heart to Jesus Christ, and she prayed with me. I couldn't have been more than a third grader, but she prayed with me, and I've been following Christ ever since. Maybe it's been something that you've been from since a childhood. What significant spiritual experiences have shaped your life? If I were to ask you, name one thing that God has done for you that just pops into your mind, what would that thing be? What would God say He's done in your life? What have you suffered in your life? Never discount suffering. And there are some people here today that have gone through a tremendous amount of suffering. You know, the Bible says that suffering is always there for a purpose. It's to help us with others that are suffering and going through difficult times. You came out the other end. You can show that it can be done, that it's helpful. And, you know, the suffering that you've gone through, God can use to bless other people somehow, some way. I don't understand how He always does it, but I know that He does do it. So ask yourself those questions. And the goal is that we all become one body of Christ. You know, one of the things that I like to know about people is what they've been through in life, because sometimes people will come to me and they'll say, well, until recently, they'll say, I just lost my mother, what do I do? Well, until recently, all my parents are still alive and I haven't really experienced that. And I used to steer them to people that had experienced that loss, because they have an empathy and an understanding of what they've gone through. And you have the experience that God has given you so that you can bless others. It says in Ephesians 4:13, this will continue until we all come to such unity in faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. This life is a journey for each one of us, and God wants to do something today in our lives that He didn't or couldn't do yesterday. But now we're ready for it, and we're all supposed to be growing stronger in the Lord. We're supposed to be more like Jesus today than we were yesterday. We're to be growing in His grace and in His goodness on a continuing basis. There is no standing still in the kingdom of God. They're either going forward or you're going backward. You're either going forward or you're going backward. And if you're not going forward, you're going backward. I just feel like maybe somebody needs to hear that today. You're just kind of satisfied with where you are in Christ and you're not really moving forward and you think that's okay. That's not okay. We need to be growing in the things of God. We need to be moving forward in His grace and in His goodness because God built us to be growing forward. Well, our time is running out, so let's talk about how we discover these gifts. Let's talk about some practical aspects. And I want you to take that worksheet home and just kind of work through it just kind of answer those questions and let the Holy Spirit guide your thinking. But you discover your gift, number one, by prayer. Asking God to show you what your abilities are, where He wants you to work. Did you catch that? To work in the kingdom of God. There are no spectators in God's kingdom. Well, there are, but they're found in Hebrews chapter 10, I think it is, where it talks about those who have gone on before us are watching us run the race. So your spectating time comes when you die. That's where spectators are. They're in heaven watching us run the race. But when we're here, we're to be working in the kingdom of God. So pray, ask God to show you what your work is in the kingdom of God. Secondly, talk about it. Ask trusted friends. Ask spiritual leadership. Ask one of the pastors. Ask one of the deacons. What do you think my gifts are? Where do you see me? I think it's this. Do you think it's that? You know, talk about these things. They're important. You need to get input from the outside. And we weren't created to go through this alone anyway, but you need to ask those questions and build relationships with people so that they can help you discover what these gifts are. And thirdly, experiment. I really believe in experimenting and finding your spiritual gifts. Let's say you believe that you're called to work with children. You need to talk with Don and say, I think I'm called to work with children. Is there a place for me supervised that will train me to help me get involved in children's ministry? Maybe you want to work with men, or you know, maybe you want to help out at the church, do handiwork, you know, whatever is needed around here. Come and talk to me. Talk to one of the other people that are here and ask them about what they think your gifts are and experiment with it. Try it out. If it's not working out, we understand that. We're not going to make you sign a contract and sign your life away that, you know, you've got to do that for a specific amount of time. As long as we know ahead of time that you're experimenting, that you're trying to find these things out, we want to work with you. We want to help you find those things. And finally, just talk to the leaders. Pastor Joe, me. You can talk to Pastor Mike, Pastor Matt, Pastor Juanita. You can talk to Don. Don is the head of our children's ministries, Wednesday nights, Sunday nights, junior church, Sunday mornings. Sorry about that. Junior church. Don has a gifting of working with children. Don and Renee both. And they are expert at it. They're good at it. And they can help you become good at it. You know, just whatever it is that you want to do, talk to us about it. Let us know what you're looking for. We will help you find that place that God has for you in the body of Christ. Those are all important things that you need to do. You know, we are growing strong as followers of Jesus Christ. And one of those things is to discover the gifts that God has for you. I'm going to close in just a minute. But before we do, we're going to pray and we're going to ask God to show you the gifts that He has for you, to show you what He has in store for you here this morning. And I want this to be the beginning of a journey for you where, you know, this really isn't an altar call-y kind of message. This is a now go home and think about it, pray about it, get God's mind on this thing, and really kind of figure out what God is saying to you and let Him speak. And by the way, can I just say this? Expect God to speak. Expect God to speak to you. If you ask God to speak to you, I believe that He is going to speak to you. You got to tune in your spiritual ears, expect Him to answer you, and then listen for His voice. So I want you to stand with me, please. We're going to close with a word of prayer. But I want you to just kind of really ask God along with me to show you what your gifts are, where you fit into this body of Christ. We need prayer warriors. We need Sunday school teachers. We need, especially, we need men's and women's workers that will head up ministries in there. Pastor Mike needs help with the youth. And we're not doing this because we're desperate and we want to, find workers. We're doing this because you will not be fulfilled until you find your place in the body of Christ. This is about you. It's not about filling up the church with workers. It's about you finding and fulfilling your role in the body of Christ so that you will find peace and satisfaction. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, my prayer this morning is for every single person that's here to find their place in the body of Christ. God, I thank you for those that are already serving. And God, there's a lot of them in this church that are already serving you. I thank you for it. I ask you to bless their efforts. I ask you to give them your gifts and your grace and supernatural abilities as they fulfill. But God, there's also some who are wondering where they fit in, how they need to fit into this body. And God, I pray that this morning would be the beginning of that journey as they look towards fulfilling that call that you placed on their lives. And I ask you to do it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Pastor Matt, lead us in a closing for us, would you?